WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hardy.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are here. We are live. We are back. Welcome to 2019, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful holiday season, a happy, safe, healthy New Year's. You didn't party too much. You didn't drink too much. You didn't get food poisoning like I did. And you just had a general good time. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. And joining me, as always, is the other favorite faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
We're here. We're live. I have most of my voice back.
He got sick. We both got sick over the holidays. Go us.
Yeah.
We're talented.
It started on our last live show, and there hasn't been one since. So, this is the reason why. Hi, we're back. We're live. Rack on Wild Talk Radio Network. Rack Radio Show. Wild Talk Radio and at Lindsay Ward on Twitter. Come to girlwork.net. Come to twitch.tv/WTR Live. WildTalkRadio.com. RackRadioShow.com to listen to the show. In on the show. And all that fun, happy stuff.
Because, you know, we're back.
We're back. We're here. We're live. And there may be occasional coughing because...
Yeah.
It's still not gone. So when I
got a cold. I got food poisoning.
Mm-hmm. So when I mute, it's because I'm hacking. So hi, everyone. Welcome to the healthiest show on the internet today. The Rack.
Ding. At least we're both feeling better. Could have been worse. We could have had to go on the air New Year's Eve, and that just would have been...
That would have been a big yike for me.
That would have been an awkward. That would have been so awkward. So anyway, like we said, this first show of 2019, we're not going to dawdle because we do have stuff we have to talk about. Things have happened in the wrestling world over the holidays, much to my chagrin. y'all just couldn't wait. You couldn't hold yourself for, like, you know, a week. You just had to, you know, do stuff. So we've got news. We've got notes. We are talking SmackDown tonight. We're going to do 2018 in review, best ofs for us, at least. I know we did Pop Goes the Rack last week and we did Ask the Rack. Thank you so much again for submitting your questions. Keep them in mind because we'll be doing that again probably in the next
six months,
probably, 7 months, something like that. I don't know.
Probably for July 4th.
whenever we feel like it, who knows. But so thank you so much for submitting your questions. Keep them in mind and hold on to them for when we do it the next time. So I say we jump right into news brought to you by our friends over at gearbook.net and fightboot.com. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All righty. Well, we have to start with one of the biggest stories of the week, which is that the Elite. That's right, y'all. The Elite. They're back. They're making headlines. They couldn't wait a week.
Tick, 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 tick. It finally rang on New Year's Day.
On New Year's Day. Happy 2019. All Elite Wrestling has been announced. It's going to be a thing. The Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes partnered to create their own brand. Cody Rhodes will be serving as the executive producer. The Bucks, I believe, are the bookers, and they have partnered with the son of the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, or the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The son is going to be the executive, or the vice president, or whatever. He's going to be the top guy in charge. He's the son of the Jacksonville Jaguars. The owner of the Jaguars is the money guy. He's really rich. So there's the backing for this. Cody and the Young Bucks are executive vice presidents in the company. And they'll be serving different roles, as Lindsay just mentioned.
Brandy will be the chief brand officer.
Found that out today, when I got the press release from them.
I'm waiting to find out what the dog's going to be.
He'll be the mascot. Yeah. We're gonna get to that, Ash. So All Elite Wrestling. Okay. There are many things that can be said for it. But here's how I'll put it. Competition is great if done correctly. I want people to understand. There are a lot of headlines. Is this the first major competition WWE's had since WCW?
They said that about?
That is factually incorrect, because Impact Wrestling, for a period, is
not now.
Not now. For a period, was competition to WWE. Not financially, not ratings, but for talent.
Yeah.
Because Impact Wrestling became the home of talent for a very long time. Whether it was the young talent of AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, whether it was the older talent when you had Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and DDP and Booker T and Christian, they all went down, Kurt Angle, they all went to Impact Wrestling for a period of time. Mainly Christian and Kurt Angle, they were two big signings for Impact.
Booker T
was there too, but like Christian was really hot and he went down there. Kurt Angle, coming off of drug suspension and the big fight with Vince McMahon, went down to Impact and actually made a difference, like legitimate difference down there.
Impact became the promotion where talent could go and really reinvent themselves. They were coming out of WWE. They've sort of been, you know, lost in the shuffle. And a lot of younger talents who either couldn't get on the show or were on the show and just viewed as mid-card could really go down there and prove themselves and be signed, be considered top-tier talents. Probably the biggest success, one of the biggest success stories of somebody doing that is EC3, where he came out of WWE's Derek Bateman. He was sort of a joke and he went down there and he created the EC3 character, brought it into its own, really developed it, and now he's back in WWE and he's on his way to the main roster. So that was a thing for a really long time, and to a certain extent it still is, although Impact is kind of sort of taking a step back. All Elite could be this. What worries me about this is they're going to get put against a double standard a little bit, because there are going to be people on both sides of this coin where they're going to think, oh, this is the greatest thing ever since sliced bread. This is going to be better than WWE. And they're going to automatically judge it as good without ever viewing it. And there's going to be a heavy bias for that. There's also going to be people who can't stand the Bucks and can't stand Cody. And they're going to be like, this is crap. I never want to watch this. This is awful. You're wasting your money. Don't do this. So they're going to have that on both sides. They're going to have a really hard time, I feel like, getting that mixed wrestling fan, that person, that really casual wrestling fan that's just like, yeah, okay, I'll give this a try. Because a lot of people are like, especially if you get those negative fans, they're like, oh, don't watch that. It's awful. It's terrible. They won't watch it. And I think that's what the struggle for the market is right now. It's not the hardcore wrestling fans. It's the casual wrestling fans. And if they're going to be able to attract them, they may. And hopefully they will. Because, you know, don't get me wrong, I hope this is extremely successful, because there's a lot of money going into this right now.
You hope it's successful and you hope they have a plan. And I hope people understand that All In was one night. I hope people understand that when Double or Nothing comes about, it's only one night. The success of All Elite Wrestling will be whether they can run successfully as a touring company, whether they can get a television deal of some sort that makes them relevant. You can be a great indie promotion, and that's all it is right now, because until you have television, you're strictly an indie promotion. You need a structure. You also need time. Building a company is not going to work in a year. It's not going to work in two. It's going to take at least 5 years to see what this is. I don't know if the internet wrestling fan has the patience for 5 years. I don't know if the casual fan has an interest in 5 years. But it's going to take them that long to become something. Because anyone can be something for a year. Anyone can be something for 2 years. But unless you have the longevity, you're nothing really at all.
Yeah, there's got to be sustaining power there to be able to really make it successful because, again, you can pour all the money you want into it and you can make it look as great as you want. You can have all the talent that you want. But in the end, it's got to be written well, it's got to be produced well, and it's got to be marketed well. And here is my thing. For the love of God, not that Cody Rhodes ever listens to this show or the Young Bucks listen to this show or anybody associated with that promotion listen to this show, but for the love of God, invest in marketing. Find somebody, find an agency, use the people that market the Jaguars. I don't care. But the one failing Impact Wrestling always had, the one failing ROH has always had, is they don't market. They don't advertise. They have relied for years on papering the town. And that's fine. That's dandy. If people know who the hell you are, invest in digital advertising, invest in radio spots, invest in commercials. If you have somebody who's willing to do that, do it. Don't rely on the old school techniques. Use social media to your advantage, which they know how to do.
They do.
They absolutely know how to use social to their advantage, but they need to take it up to the next level. They need to get it out there. They need to market the absolute crap out of that. Because if you're going to compare them to WWE, because they're going to get put on that level pretty much right away, WWE is a marketing giant. They know how to get their stuff out there. I see digital ads for them all the time. And they don't need to advertise. They're a household name, but they're still advertising their products. They're still advertising shop. They're getting their name out there. They're using social media. They run commercials. They run everything because it's a relevancy factor. You want to keep it fresh in people's brains. Please. Please, when this promotion starts, somebody do that. I will be so happy if I see that.
Because we know firsthand when you want to promote something and they don't know how to promote it. We know firsthand how that happened with them, with another company. We've heard stories where they've rolled into town and go, "Hey, you're in town? Yeah. When was
your show?
3 days ago."
Yeah. And I mean, that's not what you want. And I know that that won't be what it is in the beginning because everybody's going to be really excited about this. Everybody's going to want to see it. But in a year, is everybody still going to want to see it? Is everybody still going to know it's around? It's like the other biggest trapping for Impact is it's like, I think Kevin Nash told a story one time where it was like, he came back to WWE or he was doing a signing or something and somebody asked him, "What have you been up to?" And he's been like, "Oh, well, I've been wrestling for the past 3 years." "Really? Where?" "Impact Wrestling," which was then TNA. They're like, "Really? I've never heard of them."
It was when he was making his return at the Rumble.
That's right. That's what it was. Yeah.
Okay. I can make all the quips and jokes about the super kicks and the super kick party and the Young Bucks and whatever. I hope this is successful. I really do. I just want patience. And I want realism. Don't overhype something that's not even a thing yet. And so far, there's been a lot of overhype for nothing yet. Let them become something, then hype it. They're nothing yet. Was All In a success for them? Yes. That's by the time something else has happened, it will have been 9 months.
Yeah, the thing is nobody's going to sign a TV deal with you for wrestling based off one show. They're going to want to see what you bring to the table because, again, there are benchmarks, there are standards, and they're going to get held to them. And it's okay, all right, let's see what we can do. Because the other thing that is going to make this really challenging for them is it is not going to be a family-friendly product. And I know everybody shits all over WWE and they go like, "Oh my God, it's a PG product." But you know what? It gets them on mainstream TV because that's what stations want. They don't necessarily want controversial television. They don't want adult programming like what wrestling used to be anymore, because it's not family friendly. Families are what the advertisers and the TV networks want. And Ash brings up a great point in the chat where it's they need to get a sponsor. Yeah, they do need to get a sponsor, and they probably will. But the trick with getting major advertisers is, again, you have to have a product that you can associate with families. They want to keep a certain advertisers want to keep a specific image tied to their product. And if your show or your company doesn't line up with what their values are, they're not going to sponsor you. And that's going to be a huge challenge for them going forward and getting this on TV and getting sponsors and making this profitable. That's the other problem that Impact has had, is they do a much more edgier product. And because of that, not as many companies are willing to sponsor them. They also don't get ratings, but not as many companies are willing to sponsor them because of what the product is. If you've noticed, WWE was a lot edgier for a long time. They didn't have a lot of sponsors. They go PG, now they're sponsored by like Taco Bell and Snickers and all these national companies because they line up with a family-friendly aesthetic. It's all about business. It's all about that money. They changed because they wanted the money. So it's going to be really interesting to watch and see how this product gets sponsors and how it resonates with TV companies and all of that other stuff moving forward. I just hope they're smart about it. Like, if they can do an edgier product that lines up with sponsors and TV and all that other stuff, that will be really cool to see. But I think they're going to have to pull it back at some point too. Like, they can't just have people walking around tits out, dropping F-bombs everywhere, because nobody's going to want to put that on TV. Nobody. I got news for you. Nobody. And not that they did that at All In, but I mean, you know, no, the resurrection of Joey Ryan's penis.
That, I mean, that has to be
you
a
just
once.
Can't.
That's a
okay.
One, yeah, that's a once in a lifetime thing.
To the Undertaker's thing, which is slightly sacrilegious. It was very funny, but it's slightly sacrilegious. You're not going to be able to get away with that on TV. And I hope that they're getting some guidance on that. And they're not just trying to do it themselves. Like, I, that's my one wish for this, is that they really seek advice from people that do TV, that understand it and know how to produce it, to help them get the product off the ground. Because again, I feel like that, like, we keep comparing it to Impact, but Impact is the closest thing we have to this to really hold it up to the standard. Because Impact was one of those companies that was born out of WCW's failure, and it was viewed as, Impact and ROH were really those two companies that came around the same time, and they were viewed as the great hope for wrestling because WWE took over. Right? And they've pretty much ensured for a very long time that they're not going to have competition on the level of what WCW does or did. They're going to make sure that never happens ever again, because that means their survival. So Impact grew and grew and grew and grew and grew and got to a point. ROH grew and grew and then kind of stagnated and has sort of stayed where it stayed for a really long time. It got a bump when they signed with Sinclair, but it has never reached the potential that it really could have. It never got there. It sort of stopped where it is. Impact grew, and really at one point was actually looking like they could become a legitimate threat to WWE, and then just everything went to hell. They just ran out of money and grew too big, too fast, and they weren't pulling anything in, and it just sank. And that was mainly due to mismanagement. So there's a lot of things that you can like compare what this is going to be versus what it could be. And you want it to be successful. You want it to grow. You want it to be big. You want competition, because when WWE is forced to compete, it will get better.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is WWE will get better if it is forced to compete. But right now it's not competing with anything. This is a very similar situation to like 2002, 2003, when all of this started happening the first time, is WWE was coming out of the Monday Night Wars. They were the big dog left on top. They had absorbed WCW. They were letting talent go left, right, and center. They had done the brand split, I think, at that point. And just the product was just stagnating because there was nothing forcing them to put on a better product. Why should they?
Yeah.
It's not like anybody is challenging for them for ratings. And so all these companies started springing up of people wanting to force them to compete. And slowly but surely, they've all died off, except for ROH and Impact, where Impact at this point is just
it's readjusting. It's under new management. It's trying to become something it wasn't. That's all. By the way, check out Homecoming this Sunday on pay-per-view on the Fight TV app.
Ding!
They return to the TNA Asylum in Nashville, Tennessee.
Ooh. They should Ash said they should start regional. I don't know if they should start regional.
There's no more regional anymore in 2019. There's no regional. But they have to have their legs under them before they go all in, as it were.
They need to have a home base for sure. Where that is, I'm not entirely sure. I'm half selfish. I kind of wish they would do it here because I would actually go check it out if they did it here. But I don't think they will. But we'll see because Cody, I think, is shooting for Turner TBS. So it'd be really helpful if it was an Atlanta-based product. But anyway, so they need to get their legs under them. They need to sort of figure this all out. And it's going to take them time to do that, like you said. And people just, like you said, need to be patient with it. It needs to grow. It needs to evolve. And they're going to hit hard times. And they're going to struggle. And it's going to be difficult. Because, again, the biggest thing with this is I don't know how much experience Cody and the Bucks have doing wrestling on this level. It's one thing to be in front of the camera. It's another thing to be behind the camera, mm-hmm. running the show. And they did have a lot, and I mean a lot of help with All In. That wasn't just them doing it. They had years of experience behind them helping them run that show.
It was, and you had the NWA helping. You had Ring of Honor. For it not being a Ring of Honor show, it was a Ring of Honor show without being called a Ring of Honor show. That's like a lot of the stage workers and everything like that were Ring of Honor production people running the show along with the Bucks and Cody. Again, all the success in the world is hopeful. We'll see.
We'll continue to follow this. We'll keep you updated. This is just the initial announcement and the product setting up. Again, they're going to start trying to run shows in August, or in the summer, I believe is when it was announced. But I really wouldn't expect anything to hit TV with this until next year. Late 2019, early 2020.
Look for October if they get what they want. October is the idea.
We'll see if they can get what they want. But yeah, people are going to have to be really patient with this because they have to get this company off the ground. And they need to get the right infrastructure in place from the get-go to make this work. Because again, to compare it to ROH and even Impact, the right infrastructure wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen what happened. So you need to make sure you get the right people in the right positions, running the right areas in order for this all to work. And for the love of God, make sure the money's there. I mean, I know they have a money mark right now, but you got to keep him happy and make his investment back. Because at some point, if you're sucking wind, that tap's going to get turned off. This dude that they're getting the money from, he didn't get rich by being stupid. Just saying. So they need to be really, really smart, which I'm sure they will be about all this. So, but nothing but success to them. Nothing but all the luck in the world to them. I actually do look forward to seeing it and watching it.
So there you go. Let's move on in the news presented by Gerwick.net. What else do we got?
Really? Really? You had to say that?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Next. So we're going to go. Yes, this is The Rack on WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're still in the nose. News, because apparently we just had a mini discussion, because why the hell not? So we have to talk about the other story this week, and it's very, very sad, and we never like to talk about this on the show, so we're just going to mention it, and we're going to kind of move on, because we don't like to dwell on these kinds of things. But sadly, we have lost a great yesterday in a very weird series of events.
That number 76.
Damn it, Rob. God, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll get his goods on Saturday. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, the wrestling community had to say goodbye to Mean Gene Okerlund yesterday at the ripe age of 76, unfortunately. And there have been rumors that he hadn't been well for a while.
He took a fall recently. He was taken to a home and things have sort of gone downhill in the last few weeks. It's very unfortunate. That we lost him the way we did. He was great. He brought the seriousness when he needed to. He brought the comedic side when he needed to. He was an interviewer among interviewers. And let me tell you something, Mean Gene. He made all the guys, all the big guys, that much better. The Hulk Hogans, the Ric Flairs, the Macho Man Randy Savages of the world were better because of Mean Gene holding the stick for them. They weren't in the ring cutting the 15-minute promos. They were in the back with Mean Gene holding the mic, asking them the important questions, and his reactions to them made their promos even more standout. Sorry, go ahead.
He was the quintessential wrestling announcer. He defined several eras in wrestling. He defined several companies in wrestling. He was, you want to talk about an icon within an industry, that is me, Gene Okerlund. And it's just so unfortunate that we've lost him, because I've just seen the outpouring of the wrestling community, in particular, a lot of the announcers, a lot of the backstage interviewers who are coming out and saying what a wonderful mentor he was to them and how much he had helped them in their career. I think Renee Young is one of the ones that's really come out.
Oh, yeah.
And is very broken up by this, because she was very close friends with him, and how much he helped her when she first came into the company, and how he mentored her to get her to where she is now. And I mean, just to hear stuff like that, to know that that knowledge and that skill has been passed on, makes it a little bit easier. Because I think the one thing that's always really tragic is when you lose somebody like this in the wrestling community, and that knowledge and those stories and that experience and the skill is lost. It's gone, because there's nobody that can even remotely touch it that's left. And so, you know, when you find out, oh, well, he never really passed any of that on, you're like, oh God, that's such a waste. That's really such a waste. So to know that that did happen and he was able to pass all that on in some level to multiple people makes it a little bit easier. But yeah, super sad about Mean Gene. That was a blow, like, because nobody, I think, was expecting that. And just bam, it hit yesterday morning, and you're like,
oh,
what?
Okay.
Like, all three of the ones that happened yesterday were out of the blue, unexpected, and they were all 76.
That was weird.
That was really weird. Oh. All men, all entertainers, all 76. Like, what? What? Gotta talk to Rob about that, because that was weird. But yes, goodbye, Mean Gene. Thank you so much for the memories. Say hello to everybody up in the sky and have fun at the party, because the party just got a whole hell of a lot funner.
Woo!
Woo! Well, no, we don't want him to go there yet.
Just a party, just going woo at a party. Anyway. What's next in the news?
Just a couple quick notes. Pat McAfee has signed a new deal with WWE, so congratulations to him. And it looks like that DJZ and Trevor Lee are no longer with Impact Wrestling, so they're moving on, unfortunately. And last but certainly not least, we've got to give a big congratulations to our friend Mike Kingston, former guest of this show, because he's got a brand new comic book that's coming out where he has partnered with one Mustafa Ali to create a digital comic called The Beacon, and it's a collaboration with Mustafa and one of my favorite artists, Nadia Remelan, or Oniwaba Shabu. I think I said her name right. If I didn't say her name right, I'm so sorry. But she creates a lot of the wrestling fan art, especially for Mustafa. So if you see, I think it's actually on his Twitter right now.
Yeah, it's on his Twitter.
I think it's his icon and maybe his banner image.
I believe so. I'll double check.
Well, I'm looking now. But anyway, when Michael put out a teaser picture like a couple weeks ago of the comic of him, and I was like, oh, is that who I think that is? And he's like, maybe. And so I'm so excited that she got to do this, because she's such a phenomenal artist, and Mustafa's a great guy, so I'm actually really looking forward to seeing this.
It's available now, headlockcomic.com for a 99-cent digital download.
Ding.
You can get the thing right now, so go ahead, check it out, headlockcomic.com.
And just in case you're wondering, it is on his Twitter, it's in his pictures, you just kind of got to go through his pictures and see. It doesn't look like it's on any of his stuff right now.
I just retweeted the picture from on Headlock Comic Twitter, so you check that out. It's on our Twitter at Wild Talk Radio.
Also check out the Instagram, because I think it's on his Instagram too.
There you go.
So, one last final note. Since it is the beginning of 2019 and change is afoot, well, change is afoot for two WWE UK stars. It's Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne bid goodbye to the indies this past week and went exclusively with WWE. So they will no longer be competing on the British indie circuit and on the American, or really any indie circuit. They are now solely working for WWE. So that's a huge step for them. Congratulations to them for moving forward in their career. Trent Seven is still working indies, and he's also running his own promotion. And there's no word on Dunn's promotion. I think he's still running it, right?
He's probably running his. They may show up on things, but their main focus is now WWE. So they're
fine. So yeah, so go them! But I think that does it for the news. I said we move on to SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
WWE Fastlane Nikki Bella left me. So that cat's out of the bag. Why don't we hit somebody's music and give me a reason to be here tonight? Who's it gonna be?
Cue the man.
How does it feel that you were expecting a man to come out here? What you weren't expecting was the man. Now I hear you say that you feel like you're back where you belong. Well, it's not that simple anymore. Because in 2018, I wasn't just aiming to overtake Charlotte on the posters and the billboards. I was aiming for you too, John. You see, you have been on every single WWE marquee for the last 16 years. You personify what this company is. Check that was. It's time for someone new to step up, step in, and fill your shoes. And there's only one person for that job, and I think these people would agree with me that that person is me. And if you have a problem with that, Nikki Bella won't be the only woman to drop you this year.
The look on his face, like, okay, okay.
Somebody take a pulse, because he did.
He's like, you got me. That was a good one.
He's so dead.
He's so dead. The biggest takeaway, and this led to a mixed tag match, Andrade and Zelina taking on Cena and Becky, with Becky throwing John out and Becky getting the win for her team, and then doing the you can't see me to John Cena afterwards, when he tried to shake her hand, is you listen to the confidence in Becky's voice.
Oh, yeah.
A year ago, there was not that confidence. And Cena mentioned in the .com exclusive, it's like, people need to take a listen to her attitude and how she handles herself, the presence she has. And he's right. She has the presence of a star right now. And you can see it every single week. It grows. We're going to talk about it more in a bit in Tweet of the Week on how she's confident elsewhere. But the more time she gets to talk and show off this persona, this personality, whatever you want to call it, the confidence grows and it's enjoyable to watch.
It is. You can tell that she's really empowered to do what she's doing right now. And they're sort of handing her the reins. I mean, I'm sure they're still scripting her to a certain point.
It's all scripted.
But you can tell it's in her voice. You can tell that they're working directly with her. They're not telling her what to say. She's telling them what she wants to say. And they're sort of formatting it in a way that she can say it and it sounds like her. And she's delivered. That's where the confidence is coming from, is it's her voice through a WWE interpretation. And it's so good, the what she's doing, and the fact that she is the top star on SmackDown, the fact that she's finally really coming into her own, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but she, just the past few months since this all started, and the fact that they wanted her to be a heel, and the fans were like, no, that's not what they want, or that's not what we want. We like this. We enjoy this. We love this version of Becky Lynch. And it's like, no matter what they did, they tried to get her to be a heel, and the outcry was so large that they finally just backed off of it, and they let Becky be Becky. And they just let us have this. Thank you for letting us have this and listening to us and the fact that we enjoy this, we like this, and they haven't ruined it. Not good. But, I mean, yeah, it's just, she's just going out there and owning it every night on Twitter, everywhere she goes. Just zero foxes given by Becky Lynch. She just does whatever the hell she wants, and it's great.
It is. Other things that happen on this show. The New Day are no longer using pancakes. It's not good for their diet. Big E was still trying to eat pancakes, but they're no longer doing pancakes.
Okay, I just want to say this. I love New Day. I love Big E, don't get me wrong. Can we please stop having Big E pull food out of his trunks and his diaper? Because he was dressed as Baby New Year. He's wearing a diaper and he's pulling pancakes out of the diaper. And I get it. He had underwear on. You could clearly tell the man was wearing underwear under the diaper. Still.
Still.
It's nasty. Can we not do that? Like, it just, I'm not a germaphobe at all, but it just like kicks my germaphobe into a whole new level when I see him pulling pancakes out and tossing them out or handing them to people and then him eating them. Like, he's pulling them out of this diaper and he's putting them in his mouth and he's eating them. And I'm like, dude, no, bad, no, gross. Like, even Woods and Kofi were like, what the hell are you doing? But, you know, Woods is going, for his resolution, is going to be the plot of the Bird Box. And Kofi is going to be the plot of, what was it? I forget.
What now?
Kofi is going to be the plot of one movie. Of Bumblebee.
Yeah.
And then.
Oh, he made the scene of Bumblebee reference. Yeah.
Which is 94% fresh. It's rated fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Ding.
And then Xavier is going to be the plot to Bird Box. Oh, my.
Anyway. So they were hype men for the show. They also entered the Royal Rumble. Oh, they did Steiner math. We heard the first reference of Steiner math on a WWE program.
Like you do?
Impact joke. Now on WWE TV. Steiner math. Trending worldwide.
I want to believe Spud had something to do with that.
I believe it was Woods who probably had something to do with that.
Oh, I know Woods had something to do with that, but I want to believe that Spud sort of like egged him on to do it.
Who knows? Or it could have been Samoa Joe as he took on Jeff Hardy to earn his way into the Fatal 5-Way at the end of the show. Good match.
Very good match. Very enjoyable match.
Vince and Shane were talking about the 5-Way and everything like that. AJ Styles walks in, talks about what happened last week. He won't apologize for, you know, slapping Vince McMahon in the face last week on SmackDown Live.
Somebody had to do it.
And, they're all questioning, do you want the real AJ? Do you really want it? And he's like, yes, that's what I want. So will we see the real AJ? We'll find out in the main event. You had Rusev celebrating his U.S. title win. It's Rusev Day USA. He's going to do good things, and then he got destroyed by Nakamura, who also fell on top of Lana as well. Things not good for Lana in that one.
No.
Naomi took on Mandy, I mean Sonya Deville, as they pull the switcheroo. As the whole setup to this is, well, apparently Mandy wants to get a little closer to Jimmy Uso. Including she sent him a photo of her in a towel that got Naomi all upset.
Can they just not with this, please?
No, no. They're going there.
It has a sad.
You had Shane McMahon and The Miz talking about their tag team thing, and Miz had all these sketches of Shane and Miz's ring gear. There was one of them there. They used Goldberg's body for the shirtless setup. I was like, oh. Okay. I like what they're doing with The Miz. It's working.
I really like how they're carrying this through on social, too. Like, I was scrolling Instagram earlier today, and WWE put out the tweet of, like, or the image of Shane. I want to say it was in Miz's gear. Yeah, it was Shane in the white Miz gear. And Shane commented on it. He's like, oh, for the love of God, stop. Just stop. It's perfect. I love it so much. Like, I love that they're carrying this stuff over and they're starting to incorporate social media into the storylines. It's like I've been waiting for years for this to happen, where they start to carry the TV product into these other platforms to sort of carry on that continuity a little bit. So, well done.
And then in your main event, AJ Styles becomes the number one contender, beating Samoa Joe, Mustafa Ali, Rey Mysterio, and Randy Orton in a Fatal 5-Way. So it will be Daniel Bryan, and AJ Styles one more time at the Royal Rumble. Fun match, fun main event. No shocker that AJ is going to the Rumble.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if all of them don't end up in the Rumble at some point or another.
No, they'll be in the Rumble match. I meant for the title. It's no shock it's AJ.
Oh, Ryan, yeah. Right? Yeah, AJ going for the title, yeah. No, that's not a shock. But, well, they needed to cool that feud off a little bit. They did, so now they're coming back. And that's fine, because you're going into really the high season for WWE. WrestleMania is now right around the corner, which is scary as hell. And so they need to start setting all those storylines up and getting that ready to go, which is, so we should see a vast improvement in the product because we're going into WrestleMania. So they're now going to start kicking those big storylines off one by one. So hopefully the product gets a little bit more exciting. But yes, AJ versus Bryan, no complaints there at all. Just please don't kick each other in the balls. Thank you.
Was that feud of the year, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura over the balls? Was one of those the moment of the year?
No.
We'll tell you next.
So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Like a beast in the jungle, in the heat of the rumble, I ain't got nothing to lose. Hey, I've been fighting these hard times in the ghetto.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/Rack Radio Show.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns,
maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella.
in the form of Total Bellas.
It's not about you.
Technically, it's all about me.
Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
My husband doesn't know what a quickie is.
Ew. Listen to how sensitive he is.
My husband can't have, like, 2 minutes to 5 minutes of sex because he needs to start out with making out and touching. Which I love, but sometimes I'm like, no, a quickie, like, come on.
Why don't you just say, hey, dude, penis?
No, I'll just be like, well, I can give, I guess for guys you call it a hand job.
Yeah, so what up?
No, I do. I have them do it all the time.
Yeah, it's so not great. Sex. That's fantastic.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
My mother is getting more than me. It doesn't take him an hour to get up, I will tell you that.
People power!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at gerwick.net, wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at fightbooth.com as well. And yes, it is officially 2019, so we can say Happy New Year and welcome to the new year, everybody. If you're just tuning in, we hope you had a wonderful holiday season and a great start to 2019. If you want to listen to Pop Goes the Rack, it is available for download at rackradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com, as well as Jingle All the Rack if you're still having those Christmas vibes. Hopefully not, because Christmas is over for another year. Yay? Maybe? I don't know. Anyway, it's finally back because we're back live. Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Okay, so I have tweets, but I want to save one for after you're done because I want to make a comment.
Okay.
So, Becky Lynch, I'm live tweeting from backstage right now.
Right now.
I just high-fived Jeff Hardy. Looks like he was going out into the arena. I have makeup all over my hand now. Might have been his face I high-fived. It's dark back here. I'm off to stretch now. Everyone backstage, because that's where I am.
Sell it, Becky. Sell it.
Sell it, Becky. So, Bailey, life for me this past year has been fighting for what you believe in and trusting the universe. It's wild and unpredictably beautiful. I'm really looking forward to 2019. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope this year brings you happiness. Corey Graves responds going, I can't wait for our romance angle, in quotations. LR Barbosa, #RMG responds, I wish you could have some romance angle with Becky Lynch. Graves goes, me too, she could use it. Becky responds going, of all the things I could use in my life right now, a romance with a middle-aged emo poured into skinny jeans isn't one of them. Maybe you should wait till Monday to reply, you know, when you'll have help with what to say.
Damn.
He did. He just call his wife. He ain't coming home.
Damn.
He's dead.
Damn.
And as if Graves didn't have enough, Rev Graves walked into my daughter's bedroom and caught her listening to Becky Lynch's interest music on her iPad. My daughter lives in the backyard now. Becky responds, yeah, at this stage, I've sunned her daddy so much, I'm practically her grandmother.
Okay. Damn.
Becky. I love it.
Is that it?
That's it. For now.
For now. Graves, I ordered buffalo wings at 9:35 a.m., but I'm drinking cranberry juice with them, so it's still technically breakfast, right?
Sure.
Dr. Lupo, at 2 Courage Daily. Record yourself and post it right now. Whatever you're doing, go.
Ben, you said record myself right now and post it. I'm not kidding. I finished my stream, and I'm warming up a bowl of soup. Would you have it any other way?
Dr. Lupo, not surprised in the slightest. Good night, sweet prince. Al Morgani. Again, just a reminder, if you're alive, the nativity scene is missing a doggy. He's working as a referee at the Eagles game. Should be back by nightfall. Graves. I didn't go to Target just before midnight because I forgot to buy my dog's Christmas presents. You went to Target just before midnight because you forgot to buy your dog's Christmas presents. It's technically Christmas Eve. The government is shut down. Johnny Bones has everybody upset. I still suck at wrapping presents. But John Wick is on, and I will never not watch John Wick. That was Graves as well. Graves continues, serious question. If you buy a box of fortune cookies, but you eat more than one at a time, which fortune do you count on? It's a good question.
The last one.
Someone named Daddy goes, you piece of crap steroid user, how many more times are you going to pop for steroids? Corrupt piece of crap, you and the UFC. John Jones, I'm devastated I've disappointed you and your zero followers, Daddy_sexy, with two Ys. Out of everyone else's opinion, yours was the one that meant the most to me. I must retreat to my quarters and once to contemplate my shortcomings and hope that I shall one day earn your respect anew. This was not Johnny Bones Jr., John Bones Jr. No, this was John Jones who gets tweeted at because he has a Twitter handle, John Jones. We'll have more of that in a minute. Matt Fack from Broken Woken Matt Hardy. Matt Fack utilizes simplicity when wrapping Christmas gifts. Remy Hardy, we have bows and tags. You just lazy. He just wrote names on the presents. She goes, keep your crap up and you'll be getting another one of these for Christmas. And it was the dick in a box. So Matt Hardy replied, not a DITB, and then said this.
Rebecca, I humbly apologize from the bottom of my heart. I know you were severely disappointed in the way I wrapped your Christmas gifts this morning. I know you said it was lazy, and you were upset that we had bows and name tags, and I didn't utilize that stuff, and I just have to say this. You say tomato, and I say tomato. But look, it's 2018, almost 2019. And honestly, I think there is a very valuable lesson to be learned in all this. Me, you, society in general, we have to stop judging by the outside appearance. The outside appearance is irrelevant. It doesn't make a difference where anything comes from. It doesn't make a difference if it decides to wear a bow or not. No, that doesn't make a difference. The only thing that matters, that really truly matters, is what's here on the inside. We can only judge by the content of the character. Of the Christmas gift, that is. So with that said, Merry Christmas, everyone, and Happy Holidays!
He then posted a picture of all the gifts with bows and name tags on them. He learned his lesson. Courage JD. Tomorrow, millions of Christmas noobs will enter Fortnite for the first time. I wish them luck, the best of luck. I'm going to show them why people around the world call me T-Food. John Jones. This week, I've been called a cheater, liar, doper, a disgrace to the black community. Wish I got Ebola and shit myself to death, and every type of physical and many types of sexual violence wished upon me. And one person hoped I lost my soul. So I guess Bones is fighting, yeah?
I guess so.
Poor John Jones. Yes, it's Courage JD. Shayna Baszler, the Vikings and I have been in an abusive relationship for years. It's just, they keep promising they've changed. Well, they did it on Sunday. Trevor May. Hey, Tim. Friendly wager in the Cowboys vs. Hawks game? Tim, Cowboys wins, I get $500. Cowboys lose, I block you. Trevor May. Well, that's not very friendly at all. 50 gifted subs? Poor Trevor May. His streaming computer went down. Poor him.
He's been having such a hard time.
He's been having a hard few days. Like, he had all the viewers in the world because no one was around, and his computer died over the weekend. He was building one today. It's been a struggle. More from Courage JD. Weakest weapons in the history of the world. A stick from a tree. Thawed fish. An empty gallon of milk. A moist towelette. A gray burst AR from Fortnite Battle Royale.
Not a lie.
Courage JD. Just got my first actual night of sleep in 2019. 10 full hours. I'm about to ascend to new heights on Fortnite today. I will not lose a single game. Run and hide, Timmy's and Jeffy's. Dr. Lupo, you will lose the first game. Courage. Just because we can't be together right now doesn't mean you have to act like this. More from Dr. Lupo. Tweeting to stay relevant. NZXT. Whoever's running your social media deserves a raisin. Dr. Lupo, I enjoy raisins. Someone named PD's underscore unit. Craisins are way better. Dr. Lupo, no one is denying that. NZXT, we refute that claim. That's tweets for me, so we go back to you.
So, last one. And I can't not make a comment on this, so I'm sorry if I'm starting shit, because I really don't have a right to make an opinion on this, but I'm on the internet. I have a podcast that really nobody listens to. Love you guys that do. Please tell your friends. And so I'm going to use it. Courage JD.
No, get it right. Courage JD.
Actually, technically, it's Jack Courage Dunlop. That's his official.
Courage JD.
I think the reason why many streamers / pro players feel frustrated at the state of Fortnite currently is because all the new items in the game lower the skill gap. Planes, dynamite, and boomboxes let all the bad players get away with getting kills they don't deserve. Okay. All right.
Everyone stretch a minute. There's going to be a minute.
One, I don't agree with the fact that he gets to say who deserves what in that game. And as a bad player, because he would consider me a bad player, I can't tell you how frustrating it is on my end for the build fights, because I'm not good at build fights. I don't have that skill, and it pisses me off when people hide in building and they overbuild and they use it unnecessarily in the game. I mean, yeah, we all love to sit there and watch the pro players play and get in the fights because they can do it. And it's exciting, except, you know, when it's on a competition level and then they're doing nothing but sitting in one by ones. I think that's really was the intent of the planes and the dynamite and the boom boxes, is not necessarily to close the skill gap, although that is a definite benefit for the weaker players. It's to stop the building problem, because that's the real problem in the game, is it's a huge building problem. There are a lot of players, I'm not saying necessarily pro or streamers, that rest on a building strategy. And that's really the most effective way to win the game at this point, because everybody uses it. And so it aces out a lot of players that could win another way if there was another way. And so they're trying to open that way for people to win, for people to play the game. I mean, I get they want to keep the streamers and the pro players happy, but at the same time, they're trying to maintain a certain fan base with this game. And if you've got people going in there all the time, like, I can't tell you, I had to like just quit and walk away from the game earlier tonight, because it's like I was doing nothing but getting domed in every game that I went into. And I was playing Team Rumble, and you respawn in that. And so I'm going in. It's like I couldn't even at one point get a shield off before I was getting popped. That's incredibly frustrating as a player. And if you're going in... Omega, stop being toxic. All right. You know, just you go play because you're the best. Anyway.
Can we get 5 gifted subs for Omega's toxicity?
You know, if you're going to make comments on the show, you can get your ass on this show and you can talk about it and we can discuss.
No, we can discuss it in 20 minutes on Fortnite with friends.
Anyway, where was I?
Moving on.
You made me lose my train of thought. Anyway, I feel like if you're a pro player, if you're a streamer, if you're on the level that you are professional, you do this as your profession, your job, you need to be able to adapt to whatever they throw in the game. Now, is everything right? Is everything great? No. But you need to be able to adapt your strategy and adapt your skill to being able to be ready really for anything. So, okay, somebody throws down a boombox, you can't build. You know what? Get really good at close-up fights. Because honestly, I've seen a lot of them where they're not really that good at it. It's kind of interesting. Not to take shots, but to take shots. Where a lot of them will get in these up-close situations, and it's like they really can't do a lot. So maybe that's something you could develop? I don't know. But I just saw that, and it just kind of irritated me a little bit, because it's like, you know what? No. Oh, no, I was going to say, Fortnite isn't trying to cater necessarily straight to just the pro players and the streamers. They're trying to maintain that fan base. They really, really are, because the majority of players who are not as good, who are not as skilled, they're the ones playing the game. And if those players realize, oh, hey, it's just a bunch of assholes who are pro players coming in and just popping people to the point that you can't even get in the game, you can't even do anything, you can't even really enjoy it, Then they're going to stop playing the game, and then Epic is eventually going to have to kill the game once it loses enough popularity. And right now, this is the biggest thing that they have. This is supporting their company. So they're trying to do a lot to cater to the more, I think, casual gamers than the pro players. And honestly, at this point, I feel like if it is a problem, then create a pro mode. Seriously.
They do.
Create a pro mode. They have the pop-up cups, but it's... give them their own mode so they can do whatever they want in it, and we can all play in peace.
There's modes for everyone, and they just people get frustrated because people hate losing. You hate losing, I hate losing, we all hate losing. And they vent when they lose. That's all it is.
I know they hate losing, and I get that, but to go far as to say that they're getting elims that they don't deserve. You know what? Everybody gets lucky once in a while. I can't tell you. I've gotten lucky a couple times, okay? Everybody has. But it's something that it shouldn't be you get to decide who's... And I know he's not doing that, and I know he's not saying that, but it's more, you're gatekeeping at this point, and you're starting to gatekeep the game, and that's not cool, right? That's not your responsibility to do. Like, Epic is just trying to keep it fun and keep it enjoyable for everybody, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. There are a lot of things about the game I don't like, and I can't change them, but I still play the game anyway. So... and if I could get the Sword and Playground, that would be really, really freaking awesome.
So that was Tweet of the Week.
That was Tweet of the Week. I just saw that and I had to say that. I'm not trying to start anything. And he said it on his stream too, and I was just like, wait a minute, that's not cool. So anyway, moving on, we are going to do, instead of NXT, because it was just a recap show, this inspired us to do our own sort of recap. I know we did Pop Goes the Rack last week and we did Ask the Rack, but we're now going to sort of talk about 2018 best ofs. So we have a whole host of categories. Do you want to start at the top or do you want to start at the bottom?
Let's start at the bottom.
All right. So moment of the year.
Okay. We have two different categories. We have moment and we have story. So we'll get to the stories next. But moments, there have been some cool moments this year. There's stuff that Roman did. There's stuff, a lot of things that Braun did. But there were moments that stood out, like Charlotte breaking the streak. Not many people were predicting that. I was. Not many people out there were predicting that would happen at WrestleMania. The night the Shield reformed, that no one was thinking it, but it happened.
The night Roman left and Dean betrayed Seth.
Yeah.
That was a big one. It was a very sad night, but it happened. That was actually a really controversial moment, too.
Strowman wins Money in Bank. Yeah, that was a moment. You know what also was a moment?
Bray Wyatt going missing for 4 months?
Close.
Okay.
That wasn't on my list. Ultimate deletion. Yes.
You mean the moment that WWE broke my heart again and sucked my soul from my body because they threw Bray Wyatt in a lake and they ruined Bray Wyatt? You mean that? That
yeah.
moment?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that still hurts to this day.
Becky Lynch going off in the Raw locker room by like kicking Ronda Rousey's ass with a bloody nose and everything like that.
Can we just say Becky Lynch in general, like the entire year just belongs to Becky Lynch?
At least the second half. Another moment, Shawn Michaels comes out of retirement.
Oh my God.
Talk about that. Like
the moment we thought would never happen. The moment that we have always been told, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then all of a sudden, Taker's like, hey, Shawn, you want to go one more time? And Hunter can come. And Shawn's like, yeah, sure. And they convince the newly elected mayor of Knoxville to come with them. Because yeah. Why the hell not?
Why the hell not? So for me, that's my number one. What's your number one?
You know, honestly, one's really happy and one's really sad for me. I feel like the Roman moment, as much as I don't really want to dwell on it, was a huge thing that happened, and it's a really sad thing that happened. And get well, Roman, we hope to see you back really soon.
And we see the chat, but to me that goes in the story of the year. Roman and his situation, that's story of the year.
Yeah, Britt, we'll get there. I feel like Shawn coming out of retirement is probably number one in terms of moment of the year. But you could almost argue this was the year of the women, where they really finally came into their own after waiting so, so long to get in that spotlight. They're finally now in it.
Okay, on top of that, Ronda Rousey debuts at the Royal Rumble.
There were hints. shots. There were rumors.
But when it happened, it was, holy crap, it actually, it does, she does exist.
Does exist.
Wow.
I mean, that was a huge moment, and that set off a series of events that really made it the year for the women. But I still say Shawn coming out of retirement is probably the biggest, because again, that was something that nobody ever thought was even a reasonable possibility for him. Like, he was done and he was committed to being done. And then this year he was like, nah, okay. All right. Let me shave my head. I'll be with you shortly. And that's kind of what happened.
So now we go to story, and you have to start with the Roman thing. Because it was Roman's leukemia changed whatever Raw is, was, and will be for the foreseeable future.
It's really almost changed the entire landscape of WWE.
Yeah.
It has affected the company on that deep of a level because, again, Roman was the backbone of that company. He was the guy where he was really the face of the company. He was the face of the Raw brand. Whatever they needed him to do, he did. He really carried a lot on his shoulders, and you saw really the impact of him going. Like for years, we had seen John Cena carry that weight and carry that burden, and he had successfully handed it off to Roman Reigns, and he left. He's like, peace out, bye. And Roman really carried it, and the problem was when Roman left to take care of the cancer, there was nobody there to really pick up that burden for him. And so you've now seen this really, this vacuum in the product that is left because Roman's not there to carry that, to carry the company. And so they've really been struggling to sort of fill that gap without Roman. So it's like just the impact that that has had on the company is huge.
Yeah.
It's absolutely huge. But I mean, I don't want to say that's the story of the year because it is a real story and it's very sad. Because, I mean, it's like we all want Roman to come back, but there is a chance he may not be able to.
No, that's just where you start because there's other things.
And cheeky beads, Dean didn't ruin Raw. Creative ruined Dean.
Paige retired.
That dude.
It happened at the end of last year, or 2017 when she got hurt. She retired right after WrestleMania because of the injury. That was big because they had plans for her to be the big face of the women's division when she came back. And that sort of sidetracked some things for her.
That was terrible because she had gone through all that BS and all that trouble. And she'd finally gotten herself straightened out and gotten herself back to where she needed to be. And she was back in the ring and everything was going great for her. She was in line for a major push. And then just out of nowhere, a freak accident happens and she's done.
Yeah. So then, along the same lines, Daniel Bryan returned to wrestling.
Another thing we thought would never happen.
Something no one thought was going to happen. He'd been fighting for 3+ years to return, and he returned to wrestling. Like, and now he's champion. Like, that's a huge story.
And on top of that, he killed the Yes Movement.
He killed the Yes Movement, yeah.
I mean, that's really kind of at the top for me, just the way they've done Daniel Bryan as a whole, the way that he's returned, the way that they've weaved him back into the product, and he's now carrying the company. He's at least carrying SmackDown, and he's back doing what he loves, and you can tell that he's really enjoying his role, and he's getting to do something that he really wants to do, which is important.
Right. Now, to me, the biggest story of the year we just talked about, Ronda Rousey's in the WWE. Her impact on WrestleMania, on the women's division, them being featured in main event spots, is because of her. She's helped elevate that division inside WWE and outside of WWE to the point where they have a $2 billion television deal because she's a part of the company.
You can't argue Ronda's, again, impact on the company. You can't imagine what that has done. I know a lot of people are mixed on her. They either like her or they don't like her. And if you don't like her, no judgment. I mean, you have your personal reasons. I know she's definitely made some controversial comments in the past, and they have not been good comments. So, but, you know, it is what it is, and I doubt she's changed. But you can't dispute the fact that the name value that she brings to the company has not helped the company as a whole, and even more so the women's division, where it's really put it at a forefront. I think the women would have gotten where they were this year eventually, but having a household name come into the division and elevate it certainly didn't hurt.
No. So to me, I'm in Team Ronda camp.
I'm so torn between Brian and Ronda because they both had huge impacts on the company. And it was something that Brian was that you wanted to believe story where you're pulling for him. And it's like, you know, every time you'd hear he'd fail, it's like, you know, you want to just be like, Brian, honey, you're never going to get there. But he did. He got there. He got back and he's now WWE champion. I mean, you can't have a better story really than that. Okay. To go from being on the shelf to WWE champion in less than a year is huge. And to do it as a bad guy is even better. But I mean, it's like, it's the perfect comeback story. Mm-hmm. And I love those kinds of stories. And I mean, as I don't mean to fault Ronda because again, it's really tied in my book, but Daniel just sort of edges her out just a little bit.
Okay. So now we go to match of the year. These are hard.
Oh man.
Because you look at things from top to bottom on NXT. You would go to WrestleMania weekend, the ladder match for the NXT North American Championship. You go back to Philly, Andrade and Gargano. You go to Ciampa and Gargano for the first time. You go to Ciampa and Gargano for the second time.
Ciampa and Gargano for the third time.
You go to
Becky versus Charlotte.
Hold on. Before we get to them, Mustache Mountain versus Undisputed Era.
Oh, Jesus! All three of those matches.
That series of matches. Then you go to the Becky Lynch series with Charlotte Flair. I'll go back to this one. Because Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon was a great match at WrestleMania. Asuka and Charlotte was great. Seth Rollins delivered great matches on Raw with Dolph Ziggler. They were better than the pay-per-view matches. Top to bottom, creative aside, you got a lot of really good matches from top to bottom, whether it's 205 Live, NXT, Raw, and SmackDown. AJ and Joe had some great matches. All in all, it was a great year. It's between Becky and Charlotte and Ciampa and Gargano. Think I'm leaning Gargano and Ciampa?
I feel like Gargano and Ciampa had the stronger
story
and really more heat between them in terms of that feud, and that really helped to make those matches what they were, was that backing, that history between the two, and how long we've all been waiting for them to sort of come against each other. So there was a huge anticipation level between Gargano and Ciampa. Becky and Charlotte, we've seen Becky and Charlotte go before. We've seen it as where the roles were reversed. Charlotte was the bad guy. Becky was the good guy. And we really saw Becky come into her own with the character that she's doing now in this feud. This was the feud where it all happened, where what we're enjoying now started. And she was really, I feel like this helped her get more confident with it. This helped her get it to where she wanted it to be. And they've honed it. And to me, just the series of matches between Becky and Charlotte, which led up to the TLC match between the two, where they absolutely just essentially tried to kill each other. Asuka was there too. I love Asuka, but this was personal between Becky and Charlotte. I have to go with Becky and Charlotte. Just the way that they reinvented the feud, the way that they've got that history there, the way that Becky came into her own, the way that Charlotte had to change. I mean, just all of it was just so good.
Okay, let's stay there and go to feud of the year.
And then Nia's fist screwed it all
up. It did. Let's stay there and go to feud of the year, because you can go down to Becky and Charlotte, you got Gargano and Ciampa. Those are your real toss-ups. Undisputed Era and British Strong Style, that's a feud. AJ and Brian, that was good feud. Joe and AJ, good feud. Ronda Steph, good feud. But it's down to Becky and Charlotte versus Gargano and Ciampa as the feuds of the year.
I feel like Gargano and Ciampa is still evolving. I feel like I'm to the point where I think Becky and Charlotte are done with each other for right now, and that can change at any point. But Gargano and Ciampa, there's still stuff going on between those two.
So you're going Becky Charlotte?
I'm going Becky Charlotte.
I'm with you.
I mean, I love Gargano and Ciampa, and that was such a great, everything about that, I love the hell out of it. But it's just, it's like, just the feud the feud between Becky and Charlotte was really special this time, and I can't overlook that.
Breakout star of the year. I have three choices.
Becky Lynch.
She is not one of my three choices. Velveteen Dream, Bianca Belair, Nikki Cross.
Nikki, I don't think, has broken out yet. Nikki is starting to. I feel like this is going to be her year. We're going to really see her go for it. I would argue Dream. Dream is a definite possibility for Breakout Star of the Year. We've seen him grow as a performer. We've seen him perfect that character. He's kept it fresh. He's kept it serious. It's not a joke, which it really, really is on that border that it could be.
Yeah.
But it's not. And we've seen him just get better. And what's awesome about him is because of how young he is, he will continue to improve.
So Velveteen Dream?
Velveteen Dream.
Tag Team of the Year.
You know, I'm going to give it to my Brits. British Strong Style.
I'm going to one-up you on that one.
Mm.
Bludgeon Brothers.
I want to,
disregard them being hurt.
I can't.
They had 6 good months, though.
I just can't. I really, really, really can't. I mean, it's like, because here's my issue, okay? It's like they had that long build, and they were beating people up for a while, and it was really cool, and it was really awesome, and then they got into a really serious feud where they won the titles. But it took them a long time to get to that point, and I feel like if Eric had stayed healthy, then yeah, this would be a completely different conversation, because they would likely still be the champions or have just had the titles taken off of them at this point. But unfortunately, Eric got hurt, and Luke has been off TV, and they've sunk. And I just, in good conscience, as much as I want to pick the Bludgeon Brothers, I can't.
Okay.
Because it's like they had a couple really good series of matches, but all the rest of them were squash matches, and I can't justify it.
The Bar had a good year. The Usos had a good year. The New Day had a solid year. This was their 5-time tag team champions, but this was their weakest year of them all.
The New Day has kind of hit that point where they're a staple in WWE. And they can really take a step back, because it's like if WWE is in a pinch and they need someone to step in, New Day is always there to do that.
Yeah.
That's their role really right now, is they're always right there on the cusp. You always see them. They're on TV because they're super popular, but it's like they're not really pushing them hard as they were, because they don't need to. But New Day's always right there ready to step in if they need them to. That's really kind of almost the same thing with the Usos, and the Bar is getting there as well, where it's like they're a solid team, people like them, people enjoy what they're doing, and they can put them into a feud at any point. And we were kind of starting to see younger, hungrier tag teams come in, and that's why it's like wherever Heavy Machinery goes, that's gonna be interesting. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say this was New Day's strongest year.
And then there was my tag team of the year, Undisputed Era.
They did have a good year.
I'm going Undisputed Era. You're going the Mustache Mountain.
I have to.
So male and female wrestlers of the year. Gargano was great. Asuka was great. She won the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. Charlotte was fantastic. Daniel Bryan returning was awesome. Ronda Rousey has broken so many barriers and been so much better than we could have possibly imagined. But there are only two names that need to be mentioned.
Yeah.
Tommaso Ciampa and Becky Lynch.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Tommaso, the reinvention of Tommaso Ciampa since his return earlier this year has been nothing short of absolutely beautiful to watch. The man is a gift. The character is a gift. It's so rare that especially in today's day and age, where you see a bad guy get the level of boos and the level of heat that Tommaso does, and he can do it consistently every time he walks out. I mean, that has to be recognized and that has to be applauded. And I know a lot of it goes with screwing over Johnny Gargano, but Tommaso has put in a ton of work into this character, and it shows. I mean, it's not quite a psycho killer. He's sort of like a psycho killer black heart mix. But he's almost, I would describe him, that devil that sits on your shoulder.
Yeah.
That's almost how I would describe him. And it's just so, so enjoyable to watch.
And then there's Becky. She's the man. Enough said.
Becky Lynch, just owns WWE right now just owns it, and that has to be recognized. The reinvention, again, the reinvention of Becky Lynch, right? Adorable Becky Lynch. We all loved her, but she was always kind of pushed off to the side. She was always the bridesmaid, never the bride kind of thing. She would be passed over for Charlotte or Sasha or Bayley or Asuka or other women. And, you know, it's like, God, are they ever going to do anything with Becky? Because, damn, they need to. And then it's like they tried and they failed to turn her heel. And we just didn't, we weren't going to have that because we love us some Becky. And we're getting what we're getting now because of all of that. And it's brought her to the forefront of WWE. It has made her the top star on SmackDown. It's made her one of the top stars in the company. She is selling merch and tickets like hotcakes. And I couldn't be happier for her. It's so well deserved. And God, it's so good.
And that's
just, go ahead. And that's just that.
And that's our 2018 year in review.
Well, wait, we forgot a category.
Oh, I don't have the production for that one.
You know, disappearance of the year.
Yeah, that's Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. 4 months of counting! Although apparently he's back on house shows, so we'll see if he shows up next week. If he does, you'll hear me scream. Where?
Raw Power Show, Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. But I should plug everything else before that.
Yeah.
Everything's back, y'all. We're back live. This was the start of it. We're back live. Saturday night, midnight-ish for another edition of CB Radio. We'll have the Blame Rob Battle Royal for the Greater Than Great Debate. We'll have the review of the Blame Robs, the Blame Subs, and we'll have all the usual suspects. It's CB Radio Saturday night, midnight-ish. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio is back for the first time in 2019 with the WTR Fantasy Draft. That means I'm there, Lindsay's there, the intern's there. We're all going to be there for Russell Talk Radio's WTR Fantasy Draft this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. They'll have a mini year in review as well and go through their predictions like we did last week on the show this week. Monday night, Raw Push, 11 p.m. Eastern. We will be back next Thursday night, live, 10 p.m. Eastern. Coming soon, the Rack Extra Reviews, Total Bellas. We'll have that available. The first episode will drop on January 13th, right after the show airs. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. The Rack is on all forms of social media, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Rack Radio Show. It's RackRadioShow.com. It's Rack, the Rack Radio Show on the Google Podcast, the Apple Podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, you name it, it's there, the Rack Radio Show. It's twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow the channel if you're new here. Subscribe to the channel. If you have that Twitch Prime, just link it, you know. Support us any way you can. Please do, coming up next will be Fortnite with friends. So make sure you, again, follow, because you'll know when we go live with Fortnite content at any single point.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWRD, and pretty much most of the social medias at that same handle. Don't forget to check out our amazing, awesome sponsors, Gerwick.net, Fightbook.com, and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So everybody, sit tight, stay tuned, because Fortnite with Friends is coming up, where I will lightly yell at Omega and probably Brent at some point. So we'll rock. We'll yell at all each other. F-bombs will be dropped. Put your kids to bed. Here we come. But till then, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be back shortly. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.